v. Maersk Corp. Mr. Matt. Yes.
Your Honors, Sean Matt, appearing on behalf of Union County State's Attorney and Union County and Union County Clerk.
We are here because the county's interest only in collecting the money that goes into the Recorder of Deeds office?
I'm sorry, could you repeat
that? Is the interest of Union County exclusively that of the money going into the coffers of the county through the Recorder of Deeds?
The interest of the county, first and foremost, is to have Section 28 enforced.
No.
The answer is fine.
My question is not the predicate for it. It's the reason for the thing, not your legal background. Is your only reason because you're not able to collect money because deeds are not being recorded?
That is not the only reason. The reason is to enforce.
Is that the principal reason?
It's a corollary reason.
Otherwise, why would you care? Why do you care about the title?
The state's attorney cares because the purpose of Section 28 is to permit persons to ascertain the true status of title in
property.
No,
you're not representing the mortgagees. I mean, the mortgagors. You're not representing the mortgagors. They're not plaintiffs. They're not in your class. If MERS Corp is some kind of crooked outfit that's cheating mortgagors by hiding the identity of the mortgagee, that's something for them or, you know, the banking authorities and so on, SEC maybe, to concern themselves with. That's not
you could open an investigation to the state's attorney's office and indict everybody in sight. Go ahead.
The state's attorney is authorized by state law to enforce state statutes.
Well, I won't quarrel with that, but not all state statutes. There are a lot of statutes the state's attorney has no business thing intruding into.
This state statute can be enforced by the state attorney under Section 905.
I am fairly familiar with the duties of the state's attorney in Illinois.
A class action is not a traditional vehicle for prosecuting errant companies. That really surprises me.
The state attorney of Union County is representing.
Your point is, I'm just following up on what Judge Bauer is saying. See, I thought you were just suing for the fees.
It's more than that. It's to have, first and foremost, the declaratory relief in count one of our complaint sues to have MERS and the banks record the assignments that have not been recorded.
So you want injunctive relief, too? You want an order that they. Right.
That is correct. And then when they do that,
and
they
the benefit,
the
though, is the fees.
Then they pay the fees. That's correct, Your Honor.
Right. That's what you're suing for. You're suing for fees, for money.
For injunctive and
declaratory
relief. Are you
suing
and
on behalf
fees.
Of the mortgagors?
We're suing on behalf.
Are you? And no. Answer my question, yes or no. Are you suing on behalf of the mortgagors?
We're suing on behalf of everyone in the state of Illinois.
Answer me, please. Are you suing on behalf of mortgagors?
Yes, and we're suing on behalf of everyone in the state of Illinois.
Everyone in the state of Illinois? What is this, a class action for what, 16 million people, 20 million people?
No, less than that. We're a small state, 12 million.
It's a state's attorney's action to enforce the statute, have the recordings done, and then the fees paid when it's recorded.
Let me inquire as an abstract thing. Is the state's attorney going through the various businesses going on in the state of Illinois to find out who's living up to the law and who isn't?
I don't know how to answer that question.
Well, if your duty is to enforce all the laws and you're going to go out and check and see who's not providing with it, I want to know whether you confined yourself to the failure to file in Union County or whether you're going to check to see whether or not they're paying their taxes to the city, whether they're getting their licenses in proper order, if your interest is only in enforcing the law.
I can't answer that question.
Without anybody complaining to you about it.
I don't know. But what I do know is this is a public policy problem.
Well,
it has come to the attention of the state's attorney.
Aren't you preempting the role of the state attorney general?
I'm sorry.
Aren't you preempting the role of the state attorney general?
No, a state attorney general has a role to play here if the state attorney general wishes to, but so does the state's attorney.
All the county officials getting together and...
Is there a problem with getting property taxes paid because these things are not recorded? Is there a problem with weed control or getting property owners to maintain their properties because of this?
No, the problem, from what I understand, does not go that far. The problem is that MRSA's routine circumvention of the recording system has resulted in substantial gaps in the Illinois public land records. It results in uncertainty in title, lack of transparency, and an inability to identify.
But the interests of the county with respect to title, are they unmet in some way other than getting that recording fee?
No, except for representing the public interest in making sure that these mortgages are
in fact
recorded.
This is not a class action on behalf of the citizens of these counties. The class members are the county governments. They're not the people.
That's correct.
How many counties have joined in that class action?
Pardon?
How many counties have joined you?
Well, first of all, this is brought by a single county on behalf of all other counties, none have actually joined.
So the answer is one.
If you're asking how many there are, I believe it's 102 in the state.
I know how. There's 102 counties. I know. I was state's attorney of DuPage County many years ago, twice elected to that position. And I know exactly how many counties. I know where they are, and I'm probably one of the few people in this courtroom who have been in every one of the 102 counties. But I wanted to know how many had accepted your position and filed or indicated a desire to join in such a suit.
This is one of three cases pending against the similar defendants over this activity. The first was filed by Union County. The second was filed as an individual case by St. Clair County. And the court there denied the motion to dismiss and construed the statute in conjunction with how we have advocated the statute should be construed.
That's an Illinois court, right?
That's an Illinois state court. That's correct.
Judge Bauer is asking, how many of the counties are members of your class? All of them?
We already discussed that, 102.
102?
Unless people opt out.
No one's opted out. I mean, there's no certification or anything.
That's correct. We're here on the motion to dismiss. And then the third case is the Macon County case, which was recently dismissed based on the district court's decision in Union County. So that's the lay of the litigation from the class perspective and non-class perspective in St. Clair County involving these issues. I'm going to come back to the public.
There's a state court proceeding pending, isn't there?
That's St. Clair County Court. That's correct.
Right. And what is the status of that?
The status is the motion to dismiss has been denied. And right now, from a procedural perspective, from what I understand from reviewing the docket, there is a motion to amend the complaint in some way that's pending. I'm assuming.
You joined that suit, right?
Well, we filed this case first.
I know, but you could have joined. You could join with St. Clair, right?
Sure. That would have been removed under the Class Action Fairness Act, and we would have been in the same district court.
The St. Clair one wasn't removed.
It was not because it's not a class action, Your Honor.
Yes, but if Union County, you're Union County, right? If Union County alone joined St. Clair, that wouldn't be removable, would it?
I don't believe so.
So why don't you do that? If you want to get the opinion of the Supreme Court of Illinois, you can join the St. Clair suit. If you think you have advocacy resources that would assist them, right? Why didn't you do that? I mean, it looks as if you went to federal court hoping for a favorable judgment. When that failed, you decide, whoops, better try the Supreme Court of Illinois.
That is not true, Your Honor. We filed this case in Union County State Court.
Did you ask for certification?
It was removed.
Did you ask for certification at the district court to the Supreme Court?
No, we did not. We did not.
So you knew it would be removed.
Pardon?
You knew it would be removed, and if you really wanted to get into state court from the beginning, you would have sued by yourself, or you could sue with St. Clair. You just couldn't sue under – you couldn't bring a suit governed by the Class Action Fairness Act.
But the case was brought
also,
as a class action.
Also, it's hard to see why you care why this is a class action. If one county – got a decision by the Illinois the Supreme Court of Illinois that all mortgages have to be registered, then that would apply to every county. There wouldn't be any need for further litigation, right?
And that is a reason to support certification of this issue to the Illinois Supreme Court.
No. You have arranged things in a but I think it's a very strange way. You arranged that you by bringing it wholly gratuitously as a class action, you ensured that it would go into the federal courts. And now, not content with what the federal courts have done to you, at least the district court, now you want to interrupt this litigation to get to the Supreme Court of Illinois, whereas you could have stayed in the state courts just by not bringing this as a class action.
It was not assured that it would be removed, Your Honor. Sometimes the cases are not removed.
Yeah, but you could have guaranteed against removal, couldn't you have?
Could have, but the state's attorney chose to bring it as a class action.
If you want to find out the current view of the Supreme Court of Illinois, why not arrange your litigation so that it remains in the Illinois court system? You don't get anything by having a class action. Zero.
Your Honor, he chose to bring it as a class action.
You want a legal ruling from the Supreme Court of Illinois. It will govern all of Illinois. There's absolutely no gain to you from having a class action.
Regardless of how well this court might anticipate the state Supreme Court's interpretation of what the statute means, we have a situation now where there is a conflict between the district court and the federal system and a state court in the state system. And as a practical matter, we believe it makes sense at this juncture to have the Illinois Supreme Court decide the issue.
St. Clair suit will resolve that question.
And then it will be binding in all cases in both state court and federal court if the Illinois Supreme Court does, in fact,
that's correct.
Rule.
So let St. Clair do that.
Your Honor, we have some time remaining for rebuttal, and I'd like to reserve that.
I want to ask you a question. I don't understand. You put a lot of weight on what you consider to be a clear meaning of the shall register statute, right? Put a lot of weight on that. You think it's absolutely clear?
We do believe it's clear. If you apply,
let me give you this example. Suppose Macy's posts a notice, and it says all defective purchases shall be returned to the fifth floor counter. Now, is that an order that people return their defective products? Or can they keep them, throw them away, right? Bring a lawsuit?
It depends on the context.
No.
It depends.
It's perfectly clear in my example. They're not telling you you have to bring back your defective products. They're saying if you want to return a product, this is where you take it. And similarly, this is... It can be argued. This statute says if you want to register your mortgage, register it in this county. If you don't want to, if you want to live dangerously, don't register it. But you better realize If you don't register it, you're not going to have priority over other creditors, right? So I don't know what mileage you get out of the language of the statute.
I think we get plenty of mileage when you have to look to the purpose and intent of the legislature. And the courts have said the purpose of Section 28 is to give public notice.
Well, you say the purpose is to tell you where to register your mortgage if you want to register a mortgage.
That is not the way the statute should be interpreted according to the rules of interpretation.
Why should it be interpreted just like my example? Why?
Because the purpose of that statute is to give third parties the opportunity to ascertain status to the title of property.
No,
it has a very different purpose.
No, the purpose of the traditional purpose of registering, filing, mortgages, liens, and so on, is to give notice to subsequent creditors. That's the purpose. Not to enrich the coffers of the counties by forcing people to register.
You just described the purpose of Section 30, Your Honor. It's different than the purpose of Section 28, and that is what is very important to focus on when we're interpreting the statute according to this old court's own rules. Should I sit down, or do you have another question?
Okay, well, we'll give you more time on rebuttal.
Thank you.
Mr. Matt. Mr. Brosham?
Good morning. Bobby Brochin, counsel for MERS Corp Holdings, Inc. and Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems, Inc., or MERS. Also been designated to present argument on behalf of all of the appellees.
Not that it's any of my business, but what's your version of registering the title?
Of the Section 28?
What's your version of registering the deeds and the mortgages with the recorder of deeds?
The purpose of registering or recording a mortgage is to provide notice to subsequent purchasers and creditors who do not have notice of that mortgage.
Well, I understand that, but what's your aversion to doing it?
In Section 28 of the Conveyance Act, the purpose is...
I know.
Maybe I'm not understanding.
I know you don't think you have any legal obligation. I wondered why you didn't do it anyway, just for the hell of it.
I'm sorry. The purpose of registering a mortgage, and they are registered or recorded, and the assignments of the mortgages are registered or recorded, is to establish that there is a lien on the property, and when...
Oh, I know exactly why, but I want to know why you don't want to do it. Your people don't want to do it.
Indeed they do, Your Honor.
No, they do it regularly.
Yes. And while that wasn't developed below... The mortgages are recorded, and they're recorded with MERS as the named mortgagee, and the fee is paid. And when MERS, as the mortgagee, assigns the mortgage to someone else, that assignment of mortgage is also recorded in the public land records, and the fee is paid.
So there are complaints that people have trouble, or it takes them a lot of time to find out who the mortgagee is. Isn't that the concern?
That is the concern and was the concern, and that is actually the reason MERS came about. So when the notes are entered into, they name MERS as the mortgagee. That mortgage is placed on the records, naming MERS as the mortgagee. When the debt is transferred or sold, MERS remains the mortgagee. So they don't change the name of the mortgagee. So the time it takes to record before MERS came about, the assignment of the mortgage is not needed. MERS simply remains as the mortgagee of record as the debt, being a negotiable instrument, is transferred from the lender to lender. So there's no more backlog.
I know, but suppose I have a mortgage and I can't pay and so on, and I want to, negotiate with the mortgagee. So if I look up who my mortgagee is, it's MERS?
Yes.
But if MERS has assigned it, will MERS tell me it's been assigned? Is that the...
MERS not only tells you it's been assigned, that assignment, when MERS assigns the mortgage, is also recorded in the public land records.
But what about when the debt is
When the debt is transferred, MERS remains the mortgagee as long as the debt is transferred to a member of MERS. So, for example, if Bank of America has a note and names MERS as the mortgagee of record, a mortgage is recorded on the land records naming MERS as the mortgagee of record. If the note, which that mortgage secures, is negotiated to Citibank, MERS remains still as the mortgagee of record. They are now the mortgagee of record on behalf of Citibank instead of Bank of America. So that mortgage is not assigned, MERS, Your Honor.
Is there anything stopping Citibank from filing the notice that they are now the parties in interest in this?
Well, if they go to foreclose.
No. They just want to let the world know that they're the real party that's got the.
Right, but there's a difference between who is the mortgagee and who holds the note. But
they have some interest in the.
Yes. They hold the note.
Is there anything wrong or anything that interferes with them saying we have such an interest?
No, nothing.
They can file such a thing.
They can file such a thing.
Affidavit or anything. Yeah.
And borrowers under the law could write their servicer and say, who holds the note?
Sure.
And the law now provides that they will be given notice to the borrower who owns the note.
File mechanics liens on a regular basis. They could file something like that.
It's not a mechanics lien. Yeah. These are just mortgages on the property.
Just serving notice that we got a piece of the action someplace.
They could if they wanted to.
Yeah,
they're not.
Nothing preventing them from.
Not to prevent them. They certainly, when loans are sold, Your Honor, from one lender to another, law also requires that the borrower be notified of the sale of the loan from one lender to the other. So that's the debt.
But that has nothing to do with recording.
It has nothing to do with recording, and the security, the mortgage, and its priority remains at the point when the mortgage was recorded originally.
Mm-hmm.
So all the mortgagee of record does is serve as the entity, so if something is going to happen to the property, who do you give notice to? In this case, you'd give notice to MERS because they're the mortgagee of record. MERS, in turn, when they get notice of something happening in in-rem action on the property, they obviously provide notice to the lender who now holds the note so proper action can be taken. Now, the issue below was simply whether Section 28 mandates recording of those mortgages. This is an 1873 statute that no one has interpreted as being some mandatory or blanket duty.
That's even before I was born. Which makes it very, very old.
Well, and also, the Supreme Court of Illinois did address this issue with that statute on the books, both in 1896 and 1884. But in Field and Haas, Section 28 was on the books. The Conveyance Act was on the books. Section 30, to which counsel referred to, was on the books. And what Field and Haas did in the Illinois Supreme Court, they looked at this, and the issue there was, is the act of not recording, the simple act of not recording, fraudulent or wrongful in any way? And both courts concluded absolutely not. There's nothing wrong, fraudulent, or unlawful, in Judge Murphy's words, about not recording a mortgage.
Is it ever deliberately done? I suppose there are mistakes and not filed, but would there be a motive for not registering?
Not on behalf of the creditors, usually. There's not a motive not
to pay the filing
to court. Because the only purpose to do so is to put people on notice. So those purchasers and creditors are now on notice, so they take and makes it valid to them in terms of priority. So it's not prudent business or in their self-interest, as the Supreme Court recognized, to not record. And that's why they do and run very quickly to record, not only to establish and make the lien valid, but also to establish its priority.
Just following up on Judge Bauer's question, is the fee stiff? For filing?
I believe the recording fee is around usually $100 to record the mortgage, and then the assignment of a mortgage is like $25.
The only one at risk on this should be the one who didn't record it.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Sure. And that's why there, it doesn't make
so
any sense.
Compelling him to protect himself is what the suit is predicated.
Exactly. And again, that's why the Supreme Court in Field and Haas said the only reason to record is out of self-interest and good business practice, because it's in your interest, Mr. Mortgagee, to be sure you do record.
So are there any statistics on how many people don't record, or litigation by people who forgot to record, or
I don't know any.
I don't know,
but I would say this, particularly as it affects MERS. All the millions and millions and millions and millions of mortgages that MERS has named as a mortgagee, they're all recorded. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. And every time they assign the mortgage out, that assignment is recorded. That's what their rules provide. That's what their practice is. And that's what's done. Now, is there by mistake one doesn't make it down there, or there's some problem with it? I'm sure that happens. But as a general business practice, not only for MERS, but all creditors who are mortgagees, they record. Not only is the fee not stiff, as the court has recognized, it's in their best interest to place on notice all creditors and purchasers that they have this lien. That's value to them and enhances the value of their security by giving notice to everyone. So if anyone else wants to make a loan to that borrower, they're going to have to get in line behind the first position that these recorded mortgages take when they're recorded. They race to the courthouse to be sure to do that. So it's counterintuitive, certainly not in anyone's interest, for mortgagees not to record. Hence, I'm reasonably confident every lender, mortgagee, takes advantage of it, because that's the purpose of the system. That's why the land record systems were set up in the first place, to give these mortgagees, the creditors, the opportunity to go down and record and give this constructive notice as a matter of law to all of the creditors and subsequent purchasers out there, so they make what was otherwise an invalid mortgage valid. And by the way, that is the purpose of Section 30 of the Conveyance Act. That's exactly what Section 30 of the Conveyance Act says, that if mortgagees provide that notice, then that makes the mortgage valid by recording it and placing it on the public land record.
Is there a title company in Union County, do you know?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I do not know.
We can find out.
Are you involved in the other federal case, and that the motion to dismiss was granted?
We were, Your Honor.
Has that been appealed to our court?
I don't believe appeal has been taken. Judge McCluskey just entered the order upon the recommendation and report of the magistrate dismissing the case, dismissed it with prejudice, and closed the file, so they're on the appellate clock. I don't believe a notice of appeal has been filed yet. And by the way, that court did not rely on Union County's analysis. It made a separate analysis and reached the same result as Union County judge did, Judge Murphy, below, independently, analyzed the statute, looked at the statute, looked at the intent of the legislature in 1873, and came to the same conclusion, because it was a de novo review of it, and that is that no way does Section 28 mandate require mortgagees to record these documents. And I add that that section would be odd to hold mortgagees accountable to record every mortgage contract they enter into, when the section doesn't say who is obligated to record it, doesn't say when they're obligated to record it, doesn't tell you the consequences of when you are to record it. And indeed, it doesn't say any of that, because what the statute is saying, it's directing that if you want to provide notice to these subsequent creditors and purchasers, you need to file it in the county where the real property is situated or located, so those subsequent purchasers can go to those land records in that county and see if notice has been given to them that there is this mortgage lien on the property and when that mortgage lien on the property was established. So we ask that the decision below be affirmed and that the question not be certified, largely because there seems to be no genuine uncertainty about the law, and it certainly is not outcome determinative.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Boshin. Mr. Matt? Have another minute.
Your Honor, I want to respond to questions about what's recorded, and I want to make one thing quite clear. The initial mortgage is typically recorded in the county clerk's office with MERS named as the nominee or mortgagee of record. MERS is not the lender. It does not hold the note. It does not hold the mortgage. During the lifetime of that mortgage, the beneficial ownership interest or servicing rights may be transferred amongst MERS members many times through assignments. Those assignments are not recorded. And that we must make that crystal clear. That's how it works in fact. That is what the controlling allegations of the complaint say. Instead, they are tracked electronically in MERS's shadow private recording system. Thus, MERS is actually supplanting the public recording system. It was specifically designed to do this. It has admitted that it has done this to make transfers easy, and they specifically admitted to avoid paying recording fees. So that's their motivation. Now, to answer your question, how often does this occur? Estimates are, and this is also in the complaint, that 60% of all mortgages in the United States are done this way. MERS is the nominee of record, and it gets transferred. So we're talking about a high volume of mortgages. I think it's a good dovetail into the public policy reasons behind this suit. By shielding
Mr. Broshin said that MERS remains the mortgagee even if it's assigned the beneficial interest to someone else. Is that incorrect?
It remains the nominee or mortgagee of record, and there's been a slew of litigation over what that means. In some states, such as in Illinois, I do believe it gives MERS the right to foreclose, for instance. In other states, it doesn't. But the problem that this whole shadow system creates is by shielding the identity of the note and mortgage holder behind the MERS system, MERS makes it extremely difficult to track the real party in interest.
Why is it difficult?
Because
you don't know who it is.
You can't go down to the county and look up and see who it is because it says MERS.
But you ask MERS, don't you?
You ask MERS and they don't tell you. That's also a controlling allegation in the complaint. That's why we're here. If you want to enforce your legal rights as a homeowner because you believe that you have been misled.
You're talking as if you were representing homeowners. That's what's so confusing about this case. It's a class of counties. There aren't any individuals. Of course, there's a lot of controversy about behavior of financial institutions in relation to home ownership, obviously. That's precipitated the financial crisis. So I can imagine a class action of homeowners who feel they've been cheated by MERS. I can understand that. But I don't understand how you have an interest other than the fees.
Again, I'll reiterate, the state's attorney has an interest in enforcing the statute so that the public purposes of the statute are carried out, and that is so people can ascertain title to the property. You know, courts have acknowledged the MERS system has caused great concern. I'm going to quote from the Washington Supreme Court. Great concern about possible errors in foreclosures, misrepresentation, and fraud.
People harm. They sue, don't they?
If they can find a lawyer and if they can afford one, Your Honor. The problem is it shouldn't come to that to find out who owns the interest in your property. That's the whole pernicious. The reason the system is so pernicious is that you can't do it.
Suppose MERS was, for all we know it is, I don't know anything about MERS. Suppose MERS was scrupulous that whenever a homeowner inquired of it about the status of its mortgage, they'd say, well, you know, we've assigned the beneficial interest to Bank of America, and this is its address and phone number, and here's the person you ask for, and you'll get all the information about the mortgage. If MERS did that, would you be happy?
Your Honor, it would help.
Why wouldn't it solve the problem?
It wouldn't solve the problem because MERS is not the county. It's not publicly available records, number one. Number two.
No, please. Suppose MERS establishes a system which makes it effortless for the homeowner, mortgagor, to obtain the information he needs about assignment, status of the mortgage, and so on. What wouldn't you be left just with the interest and the fees?
Now, it would help, as I said, Your Honor, but there's no legislative intent that a private recording system can, there is no legislative intent that we can find anywhere for a private recording system to supplant the public recording system embodied in the Conveyance Act. So I disagree with the premise. I disagree that can be done and not violate the statute. As a practical matter, Your Honor, I agree with you. It would help. As another practical matter, Your Honor, it's not the way it works. Courts have roundly criticized the MERS system. One court's called it the mortgage twilight zone, and it has led, in one professor's opinion, that it contributed substantially, Professor Kokin, who studied lessons learned from the mortgage foreclosure crisis. It's contributed substantially to the foreclosure crisis because people don't have the luxury of getting a lawyer when they are missing their mortgage payments. They're missing their mortgage payments for a reason. That reason is perhaps because they've lost a job. They should be able to find out through public records who they call to try and work out a restructuring, who they call to say, don't foreclose on me. I know I'll have a job in another month. That is the public policy purpose behind the suit. It's the public policy purpose behind the statute, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Matt and Mr. Groshen.
Thank you, Your Honors.
And we'll move on to our next case.